cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. We are back at it again, and we'll tell you right now, the audio sounding professional, sounding first class. More on that in a minute. You know, sometimes the grown-ups have to take over, and that's what happened here. But it is the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and David Gascon because, as we say, 4 hours on the radio are clearly not enough. And we are everywhere you can get podcasts on the iHeart Podcast Network, but it's available anywhere you get your fine podcast. So coming up on today's edition from the Bistro, as I am literally sitting in Benny's Bistro here, this is the menu. We've got Take the Oath, March On, Do the Charleston, Fish Food, Study This. What else do we have? Grab Bag, and also Don't Stick to Sports Stories of the Week, which is pretty much the entire podcast. Gascon, as we have managed on this version of the podcast to pretty much do it all football season and rarely actually mention anything related to sports.
Man, this is not the first time I have dragged myself and peeled myself out of bed a short week, laboring, injured, beat up, but I somehow succumbed to my wounds at certain times of the day, but not for the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, as I have been defiant against my body's wishes to come in here and record this stupid podcast with you.
Yeah, and you know, people really love the grit that you have here, Gascon.
I do.
Because, you know, the first rule of grit is to not say that you're using grit, but you believe that you need to do that. You are essentially fishing. You're like a fisherman.
You had Eulogy Radio for 3 weeks because of a mishap in your bowel movements.
I could have died. People die from that. I showed toughness. I showed courage, determination. I was in the hospital for almost 5 days, and there I was back with the intestinal fortitude, lacking some intestines.
Oh.
The moral fiber. All right. Brick by brick, segment by segment, I was able to pull that off. Blood, sweat, and tears, Gascon. I'm going to teach you. I am going to teach you, because your job, a lot of people don't know this, but in radio, night radio, weekend radio, you don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Gascon actually drives a Mr. Softy truck during the day.
I actually make no money at all.
Yeah, you do a Mr. Softy driving thing there, and you have the music, Mr. Softy, and that's how you do it, right?
I listen to podcasts while I'm driving, and I drive a high-performance sports utility vehicle, because it's one that
You don't know how to drive, by the way. You don't know how to drive the car.
Did you tell your audience last week you tried taking a picture of one of our colleagues, only to find out that it wasn't one of our colleagues? It was just some random idiot that didn't know how to
park. No, it wasn't random.
You tried ratting him out?
It was someone that does work in the building, and I did take the photo. It was a Gascon-like parking job. I thought you are now teaching classes on other employees how to park. I want someone to be as unintelligent as you are parking the car. But it was the same brand and color of the car of the aforementioned coworker. However, it turned out to be somebody had a different license plate. But
Trying to rat goes wrong with Ben Maller.
No, I wasn't trying to rat. I didn't talk about it on the radio or anything like that. I was just showing you that there's other people. I was trying to help you out because I know you get depressed and stuff, and you need your therapy and your therapy dog and your meds and all that, Gascon. So you're such a bad parker. I wanted to show you that there's other people out there that are just as bad, if not worse, than you. I was trying to cheer you up. So really, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, right? Here I am trying to help you out, and you scoff at that. And anyone else would have said, thank you for that. It's so nice of you to see that my position in life, but not you.
No, not at all. I think you're trying to get some humor out of this. I think you're trying to take a shot. You're trying to use it for fodder during your four-hour show, and you weren't going to get any of that. So,
well, I do have a blank canvas of 4 hours of amazing talk radio.
You need some new callers, though. You have some horrific callers in the last 30 days.
You're General Custer. You're going into Little Bighorn with this attitude. I don't think you understand. You do not understand the power of that. We'll get to all that, but why don't we begin with Take the Oath? And for many years, all right, many years, we've been doing the radio show. I've been doing the show. We've worked here. We've had new people that come in, thank God, because it was, you know, even though there's like the same five people that call the show every night and harass me and drive me to the loony bin. But, you know, there's new people that come in and find the show. They start working overnights or whatever. They, you know, change of affiliates and they find the show. Well, however they find. And it's like the Maller Militia is thought of like the Illuminati for new listeners. There's this shroud of mystery around the Maller Militia. Many people want to know how it works, right? I've gotten over the years, I've gotten messages on social media. I've gotten messages on email. Is there like a secret handshake? You know, is there some weird human sacrifice? Like you got to burn some weed or something like that to join? Or I guess that wouldn't be a human sacrifice. Is there an IQ test? Obviously, if you've listened to the show, there's no IQ test. Skeeter from Montana. You know who Skeeter is?
I do not.
Yeah, he's a good guy. That's why you don't know him. And Skeeter from Montana, he's a veteran, now lives in Montana. But he was the latest. He asked me earlier this week. He said, you know, how do I join the Maller Militia? Of course, he asked me like every time he calls. He's obsessed with joining the Maller Militia. So I have decided, Gascon, to come up with the first ever official Maller Militia oath.
Oh, wow.
How about that? Yes. Yes. And I'm going to debut it right here on this podcast, The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and Yes, Scott.
Now, when this oath is recited, though, does it have to be recited in a chorus, like in a kind of, musical trend, I guess
well
one
said,
could say.
Well said.
Like almost like an alma mater, right? Like, you know, when you get like Michigan or Ohio State at the end of their games.
We have a lot. I love, you know, the military guys. Got a lot of good, loyal ex-soldiers, yeah, whatnot, listen to the show. So this is really an homage to the United States military.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. So here it is. Are you ready? This is the Maller Militia Oath.
Yeah.
And here it is. I state your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Ben Maller Show against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will obey the orders to peacefully fight back against hostile attacks from rival sports gas bags and blowhards. So help me God. How about that?
It's okay.
We are peaceful, Gascon. You don't know this because you're seeing the ugly side of the Maller Militia. But we are a peaceful bunch. Right? Our battlefield is social media, and we have to call enemies of the show out like you. And in the Maller Militia, this is a band of funeral directors, police, firemen, criminals, truck drivers, factory workers, security guards, you name it, short order cooks, retired people with insomnia, sweet grandpas and grandmas, and anyone else.
Sportscasters?
Not allowed. Well, we do have some sportscasters that listen occasionally.
A couple of the local ones, right? NBC and ABC?
I have heard from all the big, well, not all of them, but I've heard from the sports anchors at Channel 2 in L.A., Jim Hill, Channel 4, Rogan.
What about Rob Fugazaki?
Rob's a big guy. Rob's like probably the biggest. And then our friend Liz Habib over at Channel 11 in L.A. Have admitted to me in a moment of weakness that they listen to the show.
Wow.
As they leave the TV stations they work at there, respectively. So they've all admitted that.
Wow, that's pretty good. There
you go. Has that helped me get on any of their stations doing TV? No.
No. You know who has helped you get on a station or two? This guy. This guy right here, David Gascon.
I don't see anyone. The room's empty.
Brought you about a couple weeks ago on television. It was something you had not experienced ever in your long, drawn-out, dragged-out career.
Yeah. Well, you know, something else I haven't experienced yet about that, and that's a check. You promised. You were very braggadocious.
Why, well, not getting
money.
Paid either? So I've not gotten a check. Same car.
So as of right now, that is pro bono. That was free. Wow. So if you don't get paid, it didn't really happen. That's the way I look at it.
Well, that's fine. Right. It's for the greater good, like you said.
All right, moving on. Very exciting news. I will be debuting all the details right here. We've flirted with this on the radio show, but march on.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I can confirm that the Mallor Man March is going to happen. The Mallor Man March 2019. I'm calling out all my listeners, all you guys that are friends of the show in the Seattle area, anywhere in the Pacific Northwest that's in reasonable driving distance. We're still working out the logistics, but I have been, the Mallor Militia has come up. They really want me to be here, and they have stepped up certain members and have taken care of some things. And so I will be flying into Seattle during my end-of-year sabbatical from the radio show, which I usually do the last couple weeks of the year. And for our Seattle listeners, again, if you're within driving distance, we are going to have an amazing night of super fans getting together, telling stories about the radio show, whatever else comes up, and it's going to be great. And there's two chances, Gascon. I did the math on this. Two chances to hang out, because not everyone wants to go to the Seahawks game. Not everyone has tickets to the Seahawks game. Not everyone wants to deal with the headache that the Seahawks game is going to be at CenturyLink Field. So on Saturday, December 28th, you better take notes, Gascon. I hear you sighing. So Saturday, December 28th, I'm going to be in Seattle that day. And that night, we're going to have like a mini get-together at some restaurant or bar. We're still working out where. So if you know anybody in Seattle who owns a restaurant or a bar, or you do, contact us if it's kind of near CenturyLink Field. So we're going to do that on Saturday for a few hours. And then on Sunday, the 29th, well, that's where it just gets off the hook. That's where we will have a Mallor Man March around CenturyLink Field with signs, bullhorns, and people banging on trash cans like the Astros. I would imagine that would be part of it there. Some whistles. It is going to be off the hook. It's going to be very reminiscent, Gascon, of the time I marched around the streets of Los Angeles with the great Clipper Darryl, and we marched for LeBron James 10 years ago. And so every 10 years, I got to do this. I got to pick a different city, but I'm excited about Seattle. It's going to be fun, and I hope I'm not going to be there that long, but I hope to go out and experience the flavor of Seattle and all that good stuff. I just hope it doesn't snow, because occasionally it snows there in that time of the year. Hopefully it doesn't snow.
I really hope they don't open up the wallet for you. I've heard some rumblings about some things that have been taken care of already. It makes me nauseous.
you nauseous? Why would listen?
Who's picking you up from the airport, first of all?
I'll take an Uber or whatever.
I don't think you will.
I will. I have the Uber app on my phone. I'll take the Uber. I'm taking care of a lot of the costs. Not all of them, obviously. A big chunk of it was taken care of by the militia, but I'll take care of the rest.
Unbelievable. I mean,
it's not unbelievable.
Your net worth,
just because no one likes you, and nobody wants to help you out.
Your net worth is $3 million, and you're asking for listeners. You're panhandling on national radio for a trip to Seattle.
No, I did not panhandle. This was presented to me. Unlike that bum in Miami, I did not. Even though you think I'm richer than Scrooge McDuck, I was not planning on attending. And these fine members of the Mallor Militia got together, and they said, you know, we got to make this happen. We want to make this a special event. And so they contacted me and some of the key members there. Jay Scoop, legendary talent show winner back-to-back years, who's been great. He's like a Chamber of Commerce guy for Seattle. And you go down there, Ed from Spokane. We've got him in the mix, Christina from Spokane. I understand. I got an email. I got a bunch of people, guys from Vancouver, guys from Portland, Oregon, that area. Lee from Seattle, who's been a caller, all these people planning on attending here. And so it's, you know, in your face, Gascon.
Wait, why is it in my face when you're just robbing these people of their well-hard-earned money?
Well, because I can't get you to go across the street unless you're getting paid for it. I can't. Here I am. As an act of kindness here on my sabbatical, my end-of-year sabbatical, cutting into that to hang out with fans of the show. Because I'm a man of the people, Gascon.
Wow.
That's what I am.
Yeah, you get me.
I'm the working-class guy. I'm not saying, you think Colin Cowherd's going to take that time off his vacation to go hang? No, of course not.
I think it's nice that you took an all-expenses-paid trip to Seattle,
Washington. No. It's not an all-expenses-paid trip. It's not. Listen, even though you think I'm in high society and all that and money bags, but yeah. And I don't believe I am richer than Scrooge McDuck. I don't.
I've been to the
I wish I was.
I've been to the mansion. It's a 4-car garage. It's there. a lengthy driveway with a massive backyard. You have your own fire pit, which normal people do not have.
I have a fire pit that costs like $50 at the Home Depot. And I do sleep in a garage. You don't know that, but I do sleep in a garage.
How about that? It's unbelievable.
So technically, I'm homeless. I sleep in a garage.
Are you going to meet up with Steven? I think Steven was taking some pictures last week or the week before. He was at the Washington Huskies game. I think it was at the Apple Cup, I think it was. Washington State. So he might be another guy.
I'd love to meet him, and hopefully, you know, I'll tweet all this stuff out once we get everything locked down and all that. So we'll.
What does your wife think about all this?
She's actually she doesn't seem that upset by it because she's not going. I'm going by myself, but one of her girlfriends is having a birthday that weekend, so I should probably just go out and get drunk and have a wonderful time.
That's a pretty good idea.
Leave the ball and chain away there, which I don't think I'm a ball and chain, but she'll happy to get rid of me for the weekend.
But she might have some friends that need some comforting during the holiday season, and opportunity knocks.
She can find some real men that would help out, but probably not you.
Well, you never know.
All right, moving on to fish food. Fish food, and this is really a tribute to the high society of my guy, David Gascon, a radio mercenary. Some would call him, based on last week's podcast, a radio podcast assassin. For what he did to that podcast. And he is the producer. In addition to being on the podcast, he produces the audio content.
Yeah.
And you are also now public enemy number one for the Maller Militia, because the stunt you pulled last week, okay, was an audio atrocity.
I don't think it was that bad.
It was horrific.
Was it?
Yes.
It wasn't bad for me. I mean, it's, you know, I think we can be safe to say, as long as I'm taken care of, it's all good, right?
Yeah. So the Maller Militia, so upset with your snob attitude here, that they have gone on the offensive. And so we've had our own little civil war going on between the Maller Militia and Gascon. But some of the reactions from the people that listened to the podcast last week that admitted they tried to download the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, they called the audio quality of, again, iHeartMedia is a major media company that we do this podcast for. It's a massively huge, important media audio content company with millions and millions of people that listen to content on iHeart every day.
Yeah.
We are representing that company.
Yeah.
And the fans called the audio. They said it sounded like it was recorded in a fishbowl. It sounded like you guys were on different continents. Cans on a string was one way it was described. Somebody wondered which cave we were in when we were recording it. Some of the other lines sounded like my kid's baby monitor. I think that was Mr. Nice Guy. Was recorded with walkie-talkies in a bathroom. kids' walkie-talkies in a bathroom. But wait, there's more, Gascon. Other people described your work as a fast food drive-through speaker quality. May I have your order? That's from your Gagon parody account. Uh-huh. So you sent that one out, the David Gagon account.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else said it sounded like it was recorded on a 1980s audio cassette, old technology. And I think it was Mr. Nice Guy also said, my granddaughter's elementary school play had better production value than the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. So, Gascon, I am going to give you a chance. All right? The prosecution rests. Go ahead, defendant. Defend yourself.
Well, I think you just acknowledged the fact that we are working for a multi-million dollar company that has a wide array of audio content that's provided throughout their platforms, sports, news, pop, music, whatever it may be. And I think we can point to what was the root cause to have that audio quality like that. And I think it's safe to say, Ben, that week in and week out, you would never, ever seem to have that kind of a problem. Am I correct?
Well, I usually work with professionals.
Well, you usually work usually with professional.
I work with people that don't mail it in.
You usually work with professional equipment. I think it's safe to say that if I had the luxury of rolling out of my bed into $100,000 worth of equipment to record said audio podcast, I think you would listen to it with distinct perfection, clearness that you would expect to have on a regular everyday basis. Now, for the professionals with air quotes that you work with, I think it's safe to say that on a daily basis, when you bash said talent, you really don't work with professionals on your show. So,
wow, you're now attacking the people I work with. How dare you, you schmuck?
Rolling all
what
the way back.
What a dick, to you what? Mama Luke. What's wait, wrong
this,
with you?
This is my chance
wow.
to talk to the jury. So yeah. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for understanding. I do not drive 65 minutes to 75 minutes out of my way just to record a podcast, especially when I'm not on the clock for other shows with Fox Sports Radio. So that being said, I went to an ulterior motive, and that was to chop down the gas, to chop down my commute, and to do something a little bit differently where we recorded on a different kind of a platform and then ingested it through Fox Sports Radio and Apple iTunes portals. So that probably will not happen again, but football season is coming to a close. So thankfully, Ben Maller, we will not have that problem for quite a while anyway once football season kicks around.
Yeah. All right. So are you done?
I am done.
The defense rests. All right. As the judge, jury, and executioner, you have been tried, you have been convicted on all charges, and you will soon be executed. So good afternoon, good evening, and good night to David Gascon, because you don't have the facts. No, your little sob story, no one's working. You turned this podcast into the devil's workshop. That was the evil hour. It wasn't the fifth hour. It was the evil hour. The one thing we have, we don't have photos, Gascon. All we have is audio content.
Yeah.
All we have is audio content. That is it. We have nothing else.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
I thought I redeemed myself on Thanksgiving Day when I drafted Jeannie and Tom Looney amongst the Fox Sports Radio colleagues for the Ben Maller Show. There was a poll that was done during one of the shows, and I thought I represented your show to the fullest.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up. I forgot to even put that on the list. There's so much other stuff I want to talk about. But what a bitter coworker. I mean, Dan Beyer, a guy that I like. I've known Beyer for years. I knew him when he was nothing. And now he's a big management guy that works on the air. And this guy to savagely attack me on a national holiday, a day where I am trying to live my life with my in-laws, my family there, eat turkey and stuffing, and to get my social media blown up because this guy is doing a verbal assault. All right? That's why we have the Maller Militia Oath, right? And we gave the oath earlier here. You got to support and defend the Ben Maller Show against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, I guess this would be a domestic in-house enemy. I mean, that's unreal.
I thought he was right on point. I thought he was paying
you
homage.
You thought he was on point?
I thought he was paying homage to the Ben Maller Show. He asked.
He did a list. I mean, I know you love list radio, Gascon, and all that. But think about this. Beyer, I don't know what he's got going on in his life. I'm assuming he's a busy guy. 1 year ago, we assaulted, I made some jokes on the overnight show about Beyer doing a Thanksgiving draft, and he still held that grudge, which I kind of respect, actually, for an entire year.
Yeah, that's good.
Waiting to punch back, right? Waiting to throw the flying spaghetti monster at me, and he did. Boom.
Yeah, he planted the flag right on your turf. It was great. I appreciate it. And it wasn't a list. It was a draft. It's completely different.
Those other guys don't listen to the show. They had to be told what was going on. They had to be told it was all choreographed.
Well,
I know choreographed when I hear it. All right, that was choreographed. That was scripted radio, is what it was.
I thought it was great. I thought the intentions were positive, especially on a Thanksgiving holiday, especially when you were just sitting around watching football all day. I don't even think you did a show that night. I believe it was tape recorded, all 4 hours, yes?
Yeah, it was tape recorded. It's amazing. I was able to successfully predict the outcome of all the Thanksgiving games. We taped it on a Monday, but we did a couple different versions. Cowboys win, Cowboys lose. Bills win, Bills lose. Bears win, Lions win, or vice versa. And we just went down, Saints, Falcons. And then that's it. And we just put it all together with some duct tape and some spit, and there you go.
Well, yeah. At least it made Eddie's holiday. That's what it did. So he was really happy.
Well, Eddie was not there. Eddie and Cooper not there, but me and Roberto.
Yeah, but
working class on the show, we were there.
Eddie was happy that he was drafted number one overall. So,
Well, that's just update on update love. You know, that's
I didn't do that.
That's just like coaches praising other coaches, quarterbacks praising other quarterbacks. That's how that works. We all know how that works.
All right, are you done bitching about last week? Because I don't think the audio was that bad, but apparently some people did. The best part is that it was still, even as bad as it was, people still uploaded it and listened to it. That's all I really care about.
Yeah, just like when they drive down the highway, they drive down the interstate, and they see a 16-car pileup on the side of the road. They stop, and they call the term's rubbernecking. We had a lot of rubberneckers last week that couldn't believe that a professional broadcaster, a guy that's been on the radio for 20 years, would put his name on an amateur, like Mr. Microphone type of podcast.
Well,
but sure enough.
You know what they say, you get what you pay for, Ben Maller. You get what you pay for.
Yeah, get what you pay for, Gascon. Get what you pay for. All right, let's get to study this, all right?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And this is where we look at actual studies and we say, is it real or is it bullshit? And this is a tribute to one of my favorite TV shows, Penn and Teller's Bullshit, which on was on Showtime for years. It hadn't been on a long time, but I love that show because they'd examine something and they'd say, is this real or is this bullshit? And so that's what we do. Plus, it's another way for me one of my hobbies is reading these dopey studies. And so it's a way to say, hey, I'm actually working. Like when my wife says, why are you reading those stupid studies? And I say, I'm working. You know, I'm working on the podcast. That's what I'm doing. Trying to find content for the podcast.
I love you. You read stupid stories and you take trips to Seattle to get away from your wife. That doesn't bode well for Mrs. Mallory.
Happy marriage.
Yes.
That's the way to do it. Go go a few, a thousand miles away. That's the way to do it. So, well, the first study up here, the holidays upon us. We just had Thanksgiving, got Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and all that coming up later in the month. And so the average person, according to a new study, how long can the average person last with their family over the holidays before they reach their breaking point?
I'm going to say 5 hours.
All right, so you're going to go 5 hours. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
All right. You're close, but not right. It's actually only 4 hours. Ugh. The average person can only last, according to a new survey, they revealed that a quarter of adults seek solitude in a relative's home during the holiday gatherings. 2 in 5 people say that getting together with family for the holidays is almost always a stressful time of the year. And I know a lot of times you have to like go from house to house. Like if you're married and you've got like kids, you have to bounce to see everyone if they live near you,
Yeah.
And all that. So,
but you don't have, your family's spread out. Most of your wife's family, they're here in Southern California, right?
Yeah. Like my dad's the only, all my other relatives live in different states. My brothers got out of California years ago so I don't really have anybody out here other than my dad, but my dad doesn't drive outside of Orange County where he lives because he does not believe that it's kind of like Nick Foles can't leave Philadelphia or he starts stinking, you know? My dad can't leave the O.C.
Yeah, can't leave Newport Beach.
He doesn't live in Newport Beach. He lives in a working class
Laguna Beach.
Planned community is where he lives, all right? Moving on, class clowns. Now, according to a new study, most students... This is not bullshit. This is accurate. I don't think I need a study for this. Most students appreciate teachers with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
How about that?
I believe that 1,000%.
But isn't this common sense, right? You know what I'm saying? In this common sense, what I mean by that is the fact that, just in life in general, you want the one you don't want to have a sense of humor is your doctor before you're going into an operation. You don't want your doctor to have a sense of humor. You probably don't want... Like if, you're shooting, you don't want the police officer to be cracking jokes. But outside of those situations, humor is always the way to go, right?
Do you want a pilot that's got humor?
I've been on like Southwest Airlines flights where they'll crack jokes and all that and over the PA system. But doesn't the plane fly itself? I thought
I've been on flights where the pilot, we've gone through some really choppy turbulence and he'll come on the PA and say, well, we got lucky there. You get people that just, like, you got to be shitting me right now. So I don't mind having a little bit of levity with a doctor. but teachers, I think it comes and goes with depending on the individual. What about with coaches? Were you like that with your coaches? Did you like serious coaches? Or
well, usually when I play, I think most teams are like this. You have the hard ass hardo coach, yeah. And then it's good cop bad cop, right? There's always at least like one coach is like the good guy that loves you and looks out for you and knows all about your life, and then there's the other hardo that goes, you gotta run,
yeah,
you know, you work out. Although I don't know if that's like that anymore because everyone's a pussy willow these days. But that's how it was when I was playing football. There'd be like the hardo guy that was like just all about it, and then the other guy was like cool, mellow, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I found out no such thing as Hell Week anymore at the prep level, and obviously you don't get like that anymore at the college ranks either. So
I'm happy to say that I am a product of Hell Week, and my life has turned into hell life. That's how that works there. It's all tied together. All right, we're doing study this. What's next? All right, let's see if you can figure out another question for Gascon and for you listening to the podcast. And here it is. New study out. The average person will watch how many hours of television in their lifetime?
Oh, man.
Right?
Here we go. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that an individual lives for an average of 76 years.
All right.
I will say an individual watches about 30 years worth of television in their entire life.
Well, how many hours would that be? Take your time.
So that'll be about 300,000 hours.
Wow. Well, you, much like Eddie Garcia on the radio show, you have ruined the question. You have gone so high, you have ruined the question. Because remember, this is a survey, so there's people that don't watch that much television mixed with people that do watch a lot of television.
Those
and thus, you
liars.
Get the median. You get the median. According to the study, once people start watching television, over the course of their lives, according to a recent survey, this was done in Britain, so maybe it's different in America, but the average TV viewer will watch almost 79,000 hours of programming from movies, sports, news, entertainment in their lifetime.
Yeah, can you preface this question with the origin of the country, please? I think Europe.
We're all the same.
No,
we're all sharing
we
this
are.
Planet. We're all the same.
No.
We all live in the world of Earth.
Oh, no.
The ecosystem of Earth.
You can't say
no
the United
borders.
States without
no borders, Gascon.
All right, globalist. We're not going to say the United States without fast food and without television. That's like two of the things that we are most proud of.
Well, they say that each year in the UK, anyway, that on a daily basis, people watch 3.5 hours of TV. That goes to 1,248 hours each year. I would argue that because people have other things going on, maybe like a job and they have responsibilities, that seems about right for America. Like, how can you really have a life where you watch more than 3.5 hours of television? And I don't even think I watch that much anymore. I'm on the internet all the time. I'm probably on the internet 12 hours a day, but maybe longer than that. But I don't, like, the actual television, I watch TV, I guess, based on the internet, but
NFL Sundays, you're watching at least 9 hours worth of content.
Okay, yeah, but I'm not like on a Wednesday. I mean, I'll flip around to some NBA games at night, but that's part of the job.
Baseball season,
again, but it's I'm looking for content for the show, so it's not like I'm, for my entertainment. I'm a Renaissance man.
Well, and we're a fraction of the country that is actually a sports fan. So I think a lot of people binge watch HBO, Netflix, Showtime, Hulu. I think all these networks are created so people just sit and watch. I think the numbers doubled here in the United States than what it is in the UK.
All right. Well, I disagree. Let's move on. The survey, because double would mean that would mean 7 hours a day of television.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think. All right, another study/survey reveals the age that many people give up working out, that they throw in the towel, they quit, they show no ambition, they say, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. See you later.
Is this here in the United States?
Yes, this is here in the United States.
I'm going to say.
Among Americans.
Man, I'm going to go low on this. I'm going to say 23.
No.
Like, my gut tells me 41, but I say 23.
No, that is incorrect. What did your gut tell you?
41.
Oh, so you looked at the story.
I didn't look
you
at
cheated.
The story.
You cheated because the number's 41.
Ah!
You cheated.
Well,
you didn't pick that.
I had those two thoughts because, one, here we're in Southern California, so I think California, I think New York, I think Massachusetts and Florida, and probably Texas lead the way in exercise, but everywhere else in the middle of the country, not so much.
They're not going to the 24-hour gym?
No.
After work?
No.
No, they claim the most common barrier was not having time. 42% cited their schedule as the main reason why they stopped working out. And many of these people said that they could not work out because they were too old to get back to the gym.
Oh.
And they should go to the gym I go to. Everyone's a million years old. I'm like the youngest person there, and I feel like I'm kind of old now. So there's a lot in the morning. There's a lot of like older people that work out. That's what I've noticed. Yeah, but it is one of those things. If you stop, it's hard to start again. You know what I mean? Like you got to keep going, or otherwise you'll just find any reason to cut corners. It's like I've got to have a turkey sandwich on Wednesday at noon. I don't think I can work out that day because I gotta be okay to pick up my turkey sandwich.
I don't know about you, but if I don't work out, then everything else falls off the cliff. Like diet falls off the cliff. I eat shit. I drink bad. I don't sleep. Like it's dominoes that fall. So if I don't exercise, then everything else just I compound the problem by not doing anything else healthy. And then it leads to some bad things, obviously, with the work not being sharp or whatever it may be. So, yeah, I need to do it. I need to work out.
Well, my problem is that when I don't work out, even if I miss like a couple of days, I think every time I eat something, I think I'm going to gain like 100 pounds from eating a bag of chips or something like that, because I have this mental illness that when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, I got to work out. If I don't work out, it's going to be a nightmare. All right, moving on. Another study. We'll do a few more of these. A study finds that mental practice makes you better at sinking putts. Not actually putting, but practicing in your head is apparently just as important, according to a new study, as getting in reps at the local putting green. And I don't golf very often, Gascon, but when I do, I am good. I am good. But their study says that mental practice, observation, motor imagery actually enhances the ability to successfully make punts. This is real or bullshit?
I think it's bullshit. I think, because couldn't you translate that into anything else? Baseball?
It's a combination. I don't think it's total bullshit. Didn't Kurt Gibson in the 1988 World Series say he visualized hitting a home run? Didn't he say that?
Yeah, but he was also hitting off of a tee in the cages underneath before he went out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I mean, you can do it, though.
Yeah, he also knew the pitch that was coming. He knew it was a backdoor slider on the count. The scouting report said that for Eckersley.
He still had to hit it.
Yeah, but he knew it was coming. If you could telegraph a pitch.
I think there's something to this here. Because, when I get ready for the radio show, I mentally think the show is going to be good. I walk my head through the show and try to get there.
That's not true.
Yeah, I do. I'm a perfectionist, as you know. Oh. I'm a type A. You're a type B. I'm a type A. I'm an alpha. You're an omega. Now, that's how this works.
But do you visualize that as you're looking at your stacks of paper for the show, or is it something that you just...
I know you like working with people that don't do prep, and you like just showing up, but I am a prepared man. I learned from Lee Hacksaw Hamilton when I was an intern that you must be prepared at all times. You cannot be dependent on the callers. You cannot, unfortunately, be dependent on your coworkers to help, and so you have to be prepared just in case... Just in case you're on an island like Tom Hanks and you're deserted by yourself there.
Outside of me, who's your most reliable colleague?
Well, you are not on the reliable list because you provided audio that was out of a fishbowl or a baby monitor last week. So you're on my shit list right now.
That's great fodder for the show, though.
It's not.
It's a great conversation starter.
Outside of that, I mean, there's some people that are occasionally reliable, but I don't know that all the time reliable. I mean, there's some people that are, run hot and cold, as they say.
Well, let the record reflect, Ben Maller does not want to praise anyone that's on his show.
Well, no, I could praise Roberto. I mean, just cooking with Roberto is a fascinating segment of radio. It's wonderful. Weather with Roberto. Who doesn't love the Mexican Doppler? Everyone. Can't get enough of that, except you. All right, another study here. The healthiest people in the world What have I told you? They have something in common here. They don't go to the gym. How about that?
I believe it.
The little shots that you take at people in the Midwest, the flyover states, they go to the gym. Well, this is in your face, guest guy.
I think it's the people that are either in Africa or like in Europe.
Well, they say the people that look at this stuff say they have blue zones, the world's blue zones, where they have the highest life expectancy. And they determined that in all these places on the globe, there's no gym there. There's no LA Fitness or 24-hour fitness or Gold's Gym. There's none of that. There's no weights. Nobody's running marathons. Nobody's joining hot yoga classes or spin classes or any of that. These people just live in places where they constantly have to be moving.
Oh, I just looked it up, too.
Yeah, right?
Okinawa, Japan, Italy, Costa Rica, Greece, Loma Linda, California.
That's odd.
Wow.
Yeah, but these people, like, grow gardens. They walk through the day, and they do small movements. But just moving naturally throughout the day is the key, supposedly. But did you see that stat in the story here that they said that 100 years ago, only 10% of people had a sedentary job? So, like, in you go back to 1919, only 10% of people had a sedentary job. Today, it's 90%.
Oh.
90% of people sit on their ass. And that's their gig.
That's awful.
And I'm included.
I know. I mean,
we're included. We're locked to the station.
But you're laying down, though, when you do your show. That's more like sitting down, like truck drivers or Roberto or Coop or Eddie. You lay down. You have your feet kicked up on the studio tabletops. You're in bed when you're doing this podcast.
Well, I like to be comfortable, and I like to be relatable, something that you don't know about. But I believe in the onward and upward strategy, what I believe in here. That is my philosophy on all this.
BlueZones.com. Check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. Bye-bye, Birdie. A new study finds that in North America, this is from the environmentalist, Gascon, birds are getting smaller, and they are blaming climate change.
Uh-oh.
How about that? They say that birds are shrinking in size, according to a new study. Now, I have not noticed this. I have not. I see plenty of birds around, and I have not noticed that they're smaller birds at all. But they seem convinced that it's all because of the evil human beings, that the birds are smaller now. Do you buy that, Gascon? Do you believe that the birds have decided to go lean and mean now? And is that a bad thing? Right? We always fat shame big people, so maybe it's good the birds have decided to lose some weight and get a little smaller. How about that?
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about this also. I mean, there's so many goddamn birds, all right? How the hell are you going to do an actual study that determines, you know, and plus it's the entire, you go for, I know birds flock and go around, but you know, are the birds in Minnesota the smaller, the same size as they are in Kansas City, or in, you know, go down to Nashville, or you know, Marietta, Georgia? I mean, come on,
what do you got to be? Was it an ornithologist? That's what it is, someone that studies birds.
I don't know.
You should know what it is. Don't you usually pluck out your word of the day and use it and implement it in one of your shows?
I used to do that, but that died like 5 years ago. Thanks for listening. Appreciate that. Yeah. Big fan of the show. Why don't we close out the study this on this particular question? And a new study finds that the people that are the worst gift givers in your life are blank. Like,
the wealthiest.
Who in your life is the worst? The wealthiest. That's not. They say that coworkers and in-laws are the worst gift givers, according to a new study.
I
agree with coworkers. Yeah, I've gotten some real shit gifts from coworkers, just half-ass.
Well, why would you expect a gift from a coworker anyway?
Well, we used to do like Secret Santa and things like that.
But there's just giant wage gap between you and everyone else that works on your show, like $3 million to minimum wage. How does that compute, right?
Yeah. F you.
It's unbelievable. Right.
You schmuck.
I wouldn't take offense to a coworker giving me any kind of gift. Like Jonas Knox does a fun little gig every year during Christmas where he goes to the liquor store and he gets scratchers for the entire team.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool. I'm not asking for a lot, or I wouldn't expect a lot anyway.
Jonas does that, but he expects you, if you actually win, to share the sugar.
Well, so what? I would do the same thing, though. I would, if I won, I'd kick down a little something for anyone that bought me the ticket. Why not?
Yeah. Do you think Jonas is going to show up at the ugly sweater party?
No.
He'll be there?
No.
He will not be.
No,
yeah.
Definitely not. It's too far
he's
away.
He's not working. This is the first year, I believe, he's not working. He usually works the night of the ugly sweater party, but he's actually not working. So he could technically attend. Although, it's like driving from like L.A. to San Francisco, as far, you know, from where I live to him, or Vegas from, you know,
I've done that drive. It sucks.
Well, I've done the drive. I've done the L.A. San Francisco drive. It's, well, you do that a lot. You do the L.A. Sacramento drive. You
I
like do. That.
I have eclipsed 150,000 miles on my car, Ben. I have owned the car for 5 years. Is that bad?
Wow. How about, you know, occasionally these things called rental cars, you can leave the mileage off your car, and that way you hold on to your car's value.
I got
to
do a better job of...
Well, it's too late now. You might as well just keep driving the thing into the ground.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I should paint the car teal and just make it look as shitty as possible to match the mileage on it. How about that?
I mean, you could do that, and maybe you'd have a entertainment pop culture legend like Steve Harvey say how beautiful your car looks, and I like that color.
By the way, have you gotten any kind of comments yet from Kenny Albert or from any of your ESPN colleagues on the East Coast that watched our broadcast a couple of weeks ago?
No, I have not heard from anyone.
I wonder why.
Just contacted me.
I wonder
maybe
why.
Because the game was 56-0. Well, maybe that's why the game.
They didn't know that going in. Remember, stats tell you what happened, not what's going to happen.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Anyway, here are the. I have a list of the 10 actual worst gifts that you can get over the holidays. You want to take a guess at some of these here?
Is this for adults or for kids too?
I think it's mostly for adults. I don't see anything here for kids.
Okay, so worst of all, I got to say this. Any kind of exercise equipment or a gym membership?
Did not make the list.
Wow.
Did not make the list. I don't see it on here.
Wow. Yeah. I know people are getting heat for that Pelotonin commercial.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so stupid.
I know. Alcohol?
People with no lives on the internet, they're losers that get complain. They run around looking for things to complain about. Alcohol is on the list. Liquor is number 6 all on right. the list. Liquor.
Socks.
Socks is number 3.
All right.
Yeah, socks is number 3.
How about underwear?
Underwear. I don't see it on here only because I think people most people don't give other strangers underwear. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you never know.
Well, you're a unique.
I'll give anyone underwear.
Special case study. I know you will.
Yeah.
You love the underwear.
How about movie passes?
No, not on the list. Let me just give you the list because this is boring. Number 10 is coffee. These are the actual, according to this, the worst gifts you can get. Number 10 is coffee. Number 9 is a photo calendar.
Ooh.
Yeah, like if somebody else's family or something, or even if it's just a generic photo calendar. Number 8 is a candle.
All right.
You imagine getting a candle? Oh, good. I get to burn it, and then I can throw out the little. Number 7 is tea. You got number 6, liquor. Number 5, a coffee mug.
Yeah,
that's a
sucks.
Terrible gift.
Yeah.
Number 4 is a collection of lotions.
Wow.
Take that for what you want. Number 3 is socks. Number 2, popcorn. And the number 1 worst gift, according to this study, shower gel is the worst gift that you can get.
Man. Now, would it be in bad taste if you got someone popcorn with movie tickets?
Well, that would be the Gascon package, right? That would be throwing a candle on top there, candle in the wind and all that.
A little lotion, a little massage during the movie.
All right, calm down.
Feed you some popcorn.
Calm down.
Not you,
calm
but.
Down. Yeah, well, I'm sure you'd love to feed me popcorn. Very romantic. So do the Charleston. We'll move on. Do the Charleston. My new favorite college in the United States is in the state of South Carolina. It is not Clemson. No, it is not. It is not the Gamecocks of South Carolina. I am now a massive fan of the College of Charleston. Their mascot, their teams are called the Cougars. So the Cougars are coming. The Cougars are coming. Now, why, Gascon, am I now the biggest fan of the College of Charleston?
I don't know. Everyone loves Cougars, but I don't know why, so tell me why.
All right, so I am a very proud uncle. My niece just announced this last week that, you know, she lives in New York. I don't see her very often because she lives in Manhattan. But she has been accepted. Next year, she will start at that fine institution, the College of Charleston.
Wow.
I'm excited. They're in the Colonial Athletic Association. They're rivals. I looked it up because I was like, who's our rivals now that I'm a fan of the College of Charleston? They play Delaware, Drexel, Hofstra, James Madison, William and Mary, and a bunch of other schools like that. And this school's like it was founded in 1770.
Yeah.
Like the people that founded it signed in the future, they signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. How about that?
That's pretty nice. Out of state tuition, Ben, $29,000 a year.
Really?
I am semester, yeah. It's pretty good.
My brother's doing pretty well, apparently.
Doing
pretty good.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
$29,000 a year. Wow. Good
for them. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited about that. I'm trying to find a College of Charleston hat. They don't have it in my size, though. So I don't want to get a smaller hat. So I'm looking. If you find a link, somebody send me an email. Because I have a size 8. I have a 25-inch head, big brain, big head. And I've been unable to find a size 8 College of Charleston hat.
Are you excited, though? She's attending a public liberal arts school. Are you excited about that?
I don't know. I'm happy for her. She wanted to go there. That was her choice. I don't know why she chose. Maybe she's a big Yankee fan. You know, Brett Gardner went there. Do you know that?
Yeah, I do. 13th Keith oldest Embry. Institution of higher learning in the United States, it says.
Ooh, number 13.
That's pretty good.
Good luck to her. I'm sure she'll be overwhelmed with propaganda on how to hate everything and all. Isn't that what you do in college these days?
It depends. Berkeley,
safe spaces.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, not at Saddleback Community College, but
yeah, Saddleback. They teach you, you know, men to be men.
Yeah,
absolutely. Women to be women. Yeah. All right, time now for the grab bag. These are actual questions from actual listeners like yourself. The first one is from Jason in Rocky Mountain, Virginia. He says, Ben, is Gascon as big a priss as he sounds? All right. Let's see here.
Priss or prick?
No, he said priss.
Oh.
It's P-R-I-S-S, as you know, short for prissy, right? Which is, I think, the definition of that. Let's see here. The definition would be what? Let's see here. Someone fussy. Acting in a fussy, often used with, you know, kind of, just annoying, I guess.
No, it's not. It's.
Yeah. Yes?
No, not at all. I don't complain. I don't bitch and moan.
You complain all the time. You don't even realize you're complaining.
You think so?
I just listen. Go back and listen. I know last week you couldn't hear it because it was recorded in a fishbowl, but go back and listen.
I have a unfortunate thing with my car now is every time I turn my car on with my Bluetooth and my phone, it automatically drops in the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller onto my stereo system. Oh, so it's
captive
stuck
audience.
Playing. Yeah, it's good. It's absolutely amazing to ramp up those numbers. No, not prissy at all.
Absolutely, Jason, 100%. You nailed it. You know who this guy is. Keith writes in. Keith does not say where he's from. He says, when you talk into a tin can, what brand does Gascon prefer when recording the podcast? Does he like a chili can or a can of corn?
Chili,
your
of
thoughts,
course.
Gascon?
Chili, of course.
So that last week's podcast was recorded on a chili can.
I don't think it was that bad, though. I think it made for great conversation on the radio, and I think people were really intrigued about what's going to happen next, which is here said now.
All right, moving on, and this one is from, let's see here. I didn't write down who this person's from. I guess they don't want publicity. Is there a better Ben Maller show memory than back in the day when sha-la-la-la-lo Larry Brown fell asleep at the news desk during an update? That is one of the great moments in show history when we did a top-of-the-hour update. We tossed to our newsman and...
Did he get fired for that?
No. The board op had to run in and kind of wake him up, and then no one was listening. So that was on the weekend overnight show.
That
was a wild time. But listen, there have been crazy things that have happened on this show for years. I would say one of the craziest that is underestimated is the time that I walked out of the studio before the show to call into a different show to have privacy. And this guy starts, hey, are you on the radio? And starts cursing at me. And he says, I'm Henry Hill. I'm Henry fucking Hill. And I have something to say. I want to be on the radio. Right? Now, for those that don't know, you know who Henry Hill is, right, Gascon?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like killed people. Anyway, I thought it was just some homeless guy. And I just, you know, I said, no, I'm not on the radio. I said, walked out of the radio station, then walked back into the radio station. He starts banging on the door that's out on Sepulveda. Starts banging on the door, right, to get in. And I was like, oh, this guy's full of shit. And then I went on Google, and I looked, and there was a photo of Henry Hill. And hand to God, it was Henry Hill. Henry Hill was drunk, and this is years ago. He died a long time ago. He died probably about 10 years ago, but he is the guy whose life story was the what I think is one of the greatest movies of all time, one of my top five movies, Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And he, like, you know, he did all this terrible stuff, and but he was in the witness protection program, and he lived just in the area where we broadcast from in Los Angeles, and apparently he had a little too much to drink that night, and he wanted to get on the radio, and he was wild, man.
Ray Liotta.
That was a freaky night. When I looked at that photo on the internet, and it was him.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, man.
So what time was this, like at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4?
No, it was actually around midnight. It was around midnight. So it wasn't even late in the show. It was kind of earlier in the show, maybe even a little earlier than that.
Man.
And, yeah, just wandering around and all that. Part of the, was it Lucchese crime family? Is that right? Or something
you
like that?
That would have been your best guess ever on your show. I mean, because the guests on your show have been really, well, been poor.
I'll tell Fred Dreyer you don't think much of his work.
please do.
Yeah, very kind of you. Moving on, Dale from Lancaster City, Pennsylvania, says that's an Amish country. Says, Ben, tell Weedman Hippie to get a hold of me. I have a place he can stay with a few Amish folks. That's from Dale. Yeah, I think Weedman would do well in Amish country, right? Although he wouldn't be able to use his Obama phone, I don't think. That would be a problem.
Yeah, definitely not.
Moises from Denver writes, and he says, Ben, I know your time off is coming up, so are the new intros... Have you given them to Eddie yet to practice? And what is his punishment if he laughs at them? Yeah. Thank you, Moses. You have a good memory. Yeah, so every year when I go on my sabbatical, I write some new, what they're called, rejoins for the show.
Yeah.
Right? So new rejoins for the show, and I'll write a few of those out because, you know, it's usually the producer does that, but not on our show. I have to do everything. It's a one-man band. So I have to write these out. And so it's hard to come up with these every year, and I don't want to repeat things I've used in the past. So I try to keep it fresh. Probably should do it every other month, but we do it once a year. Clean house. And so I have to rewrite all these things, and I have to put the copy down. And then I gave it to Eddie last year, and he proceeded to mock and laugh my work. Right? I mean, how unprofessional. That's like something you would do, some kind of quackery that you would do, I guess.
I don't think so. I do think that your open needs to be tweaked and adjusted now as well.
Oh, we've not gotten many new opens. They've kind of settled into the open.
No.
I think Danny G is still in the open of the show.
No, not the...
He hasn't been on the show in over 2 years, I think.
Okay, let me rephrase. You're welcome to the show. When you come on the air with your welcome,
yeah,
it needs to be tweaked a little bit.
What's wrong with what I? That's my signature catchphrase. I can't change that.
Well, you used emanating for the last year and a half. I think what you need to say.
I've used emanating for longer than that.
You have?
Yeah, I've used it.
I haven't been listening that long then.
Well, that's an homage to my friend who's the public address announcer for the Lakers.
You need to mix it up. I think you should use radiating.
Radiating.
I think, yeah, it's perfect for you. We are radiating live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios.
You could do illuminating.
You could do that, too. Those are good. It's perfect for you. 11 to 3 o'clock. Yeah, I mean,
You know, people are used to it. They get upset when they hear change. They don't want change. Like, they didn't want to hear the podcast recorded on a baby monitor last week, but you're so playful that you did that. They don't want to hear that, right?
Listen, you got two words for them. Fuck off.
Wow.
Adapt and overcome, Ben. What's wrong with these people? They like what they, I understand. You're not taking away from the audience by adding more to it.
All right, moving on here. Always know the customer. The customer's always right. Derek from Boston writes, and I feel like we've had this question before, Derek. He says, do you guys consider pro video games a sport? What are your thoughts on pro e-sports? Well, Derek, not as a sport like I grew up. Like a sport I grew up, you have to actually... I think of playing video games kind of like chess.
Yeah.
Is chess a sport? You know what I mean? For some people, it is. Is poker a sport? You know, it's a mental... Mentally, it's very difficult. But as I always say, Geska, I am an opportunist, and I see there is a lot of money in gaming, and I would not mind stepping up and giving a shot doing play-by-play on, like, a Call of Duty tournament or something like that Because I think you use many of the sportscaster cliche type things when you're doing these. I've seen some of these broadcasts just flipped over for a couple seconds on YouTube or whatever. And they use a lot of the same lingo that like Al Michaels and Collinsworth would use on a football game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Guys are making hundreds and thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars playing video games. And it is astronomical the amount of money that's being used by people to obviously produce these games, to broadcast them. And then there's just tons of people, not just here in the United States, but worldwide, that actually will sit down and watch people playing video games. It is asinine to me.
That's the part that's amazing to me. Like, kids, instead of doing, would rather watch. Like, when I was a kid, maybe I'm wrong, but my memory, you know, our memories are not always accurate. But when I was a kid, I always remembered wanting to do stuff, you know, and I wanted to play baseball. I love playing baseball, but I would rather play, and I would spend hours throwing the tennis ball against the garage, right, rather than watching games. I occasionally watch games, but I wanted to play. And if I watched the game, I then wanted to go out and play more and mimic what I saw on television.
Yeah, always the case.
So, yeah. Anyway, all right, moving on here. Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Eugene from Springfield, Missouri says, why aren't large-scale pinball tournaments broadcast on television? I don't know. I if they could get an audience, Eugene, they'd put anything on TV if people will watch, right? There's plenty of shelf space at television stations, so they do that. Guy in Miami writes in, says, is Ryan Tannehill living off unicorn blood? Sure, why not? That sounds good to me. This one's from Mike, the airplane mechanic in Oregon. He says, so who is worse, the cheating Cardinals or the cheating Astros? Now, this is a mind-numbing question, a mind-bending question, I should say. And I never thought that the cheating Cardinals could be topped. But the Astros have done it. Bang, bang! The Astros have done it. The whistle, the buzzers, the light show, all of that. They have gone above and beyond the call of duty. And I'm starting to show some empathy for that fired Cardinals scouting director who was banned for life, who said the reason he went into the Astros internal computer system and hacked it was because the Astros had done that and were stealing stuff from the Cardinals. And based on the actions of the Houston Astros, I think the guy is right. How about that? So screw the Astros. Done. Throw them out of baseball. Make them change their nickname, and they're done to me. They're dead to me.
But don't forget, they were tanking for quite a while. They were on the verge of being sold.
I hate that also. I hate the tanking. You know I don't like tanking. Yeah. I can't stand tanking. It's an illness, tanking.
And then to do
screw the tanking. Tank, 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 tank. Suck, 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 suck. All right.
Winter meetings are right around the corner.
Well, I like the I don't mind the winter meetings, because that's gossip. I love the gossip. Debbie from Minneapolis writes in. She says she listens every morning but does not have the guts to call in. Debbie, listen to me. All right. I know you had a question about the Vikings, but that's boring. So I'm going to help you out, Debbie. All right. 99.9% of people that listen to a radio show never call the show. And I don't blame you. That's why occasionally we do a newbie night, try to get some new people to call in. But like, normally if you're listening to a radio show, you're either working or you're doing something else. You're not solely focused on the show, and you're distracted, and you don't have the time to stay on hold. And yeah, these people that call up, there's a long wait time usually to get on the air, depending on what's going on during the show. We have a lot of content and all that, so I would not feel bad about not calling the show.
I don't think she should either. I mean, part of the reason why listeners don't call in either is because, like you mentioned, the hold is long. But then they try to bring in a point, and you immediately cut them off. Or you embarrass them, or you blow them up, and I'm with Debbie here on this one. Don't call the show. In fact, you don't even need to listen to it. Listen to the podcast every Friday, and that's it. That should be your fill for the rest of the week.
It's very helpful, Gascon. You really know how to grow the audience. I would like to see our numbers. We are less than 200 people following our Facebook page from getting to 10,000.
Wow.
Which is pretty good, because we don't promote the Facebook page very much.
Yeah.
We don't. So, and I think we're like 300 away, 300 likes from getting to 10,000, which is, you know, we love round numbers, right? Human beings love round numbers. And so I can certainly round up and say we're at 10,000, but it would be nice to actually get to 10,000. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you have some friends or whatnot, enemies, and haven't followed the show, just tell them, hey, help my guy Maller out, the guy that had spats with Shats, help him out. You know, that whole thing? No?
Patricia writes and says, Ben, will it sound better this week? Last week it sounded like Gascon wasn't near the microphone. It echoed a lot. Yeah. So more criticism from Patricia.
I think she missed my voice. And
She's in Vegas. I don't think she missed your voice at all.
It's a pat on the back. She was correct on where my audio was coming from.
I think Patricia's pointing out that she's a consumer that's not going to listen to crappy audio. So she's like saying, hey, stupids, why don't you get some good audio?
I think she just wanted to hear more clarity in my voice, and I can appreciate that. We could talk about that any night at the Venetian or the Bellagio if you like.
We should go to Vegas. I mean,
it's not about me and Patricia, not you and me, dummy.
I haven't been to Vegas in a while. I got to go to Vegas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Got to put some money on.
I've not done a Vegas road trip in a while. I have not.
One of your listeners pay for that. How about that?
Wow.
Since you're having them pay for everything else.
Wow. I didn't have anyone do it. I didn't ask anyone to do this. It's an act of charity. It's rude to turn people down that want to give you stuff.
Set up a GoFundMe account for this.
I didn't set up a GoFundMe account.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I was contacted by a senior Mallard militia man in Seattle who said, we want you to be here. We think this thing is going to be off the hook if you're there. If you're not there, it's not going to be that big a deal.
Nauseating.
And I said, all right, you know what? I'm a man of the people. Again, I'm not some pompous, arrogant guy. I don't mind hanging out with listeners. This will be the first year, Gascon, now that I have the plane ticket, that I've done in two different time zones a meet and greet. Because we did one in Boston back in April, and now this one will be in Seattle. Bi-coastal. How about that? Boom.
You did one a couple years ago in Bakersfield, though, didn't you?
We did. That was a disaster. That was much like the podcast last week. The quality of that appearance was left a lot to be desired, unfortunately. Although the highlight was the Air Force guy that got kicked out of the stadium and then tried to sneak back in by turning his jersey inside out or whatever. Remember that was
I remember that 2 months later.
Air Force Andrew. Yeah, Air Force Andrew.
Oh. Good.
All right, what do we have? What's left? We have don't stick to sports stories of the week. What do we have?
Hygiene-wise, have you ever bleached your teeth?
I don't think I have, but I will tell you that my wife has given me some weird crap to put on my teeth, so maybe I have.
Okay, weird crap. Is she putting, what are they, strips?
Yeah, like I've done the strip thing and over there. But I finally had I had not taking care of my teeth for a while, but I went to the dentist and they acid washed my teeth.
What, were you doing meth or something?
No, I was just too busy, you know. Too busy to go to the dentist.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Anyways, this mother's claim that her gums were left severely burned. She's in Ireland. She actually went in to go see her dentist for a cleaning and then to get her teeth whitened. Well, it turned out that the whitening was so harsh on her gums that not only did it burn her teeth, but it burned her gums. And Ben, she wasn't having just the front and back of her top teeth whitened. It was the bottom as well. Top four teeth in front all burned up. So her gum line looks like it's black and blue, like a broken nose, just for getting her teeth whitened.
All right, so I'm assuming she's filed a lawsuit here.
She's looking at something, yes, but she says that.
But I don't know that she has much of a case, and I'll tell you why. Is this permanent damage? To get a lot of money in those court cases, it asks. I used to listen to Handel on the Law with Bill Handel, and marginal legal advice. But he used to talk about the fact that if you're like your foot gets amputated, you got an amazing case. You're gonna get millions of dollars. But if you get a bruise and then it can heal, you don't get as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's a couple of replies because she posted this on social media and a couple of people had replied saying that they're a dentist saying that it's going to leave permanent damage to her teeth and she'll have some kind of gingivitis that will be led to this. So we'll see what happens. But according to what she said online, she's going to see a specialist next week to see if there's any kind of remedy for the miscues that she had.
All right. Well, should I sue? Because I burned my gums a few weeks back.
That was because you don't know how to cook.
And I had a double whammy. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to wait. Apparently, I usually wait, but I wanted to eat. I was watching a football game. I don't know, Bears game or something like that, and I wanted to eat. And I burned my mouth, man.
It's a nightmare. And bit my tongue at the same time, and I did a whole week of radio with a lisp.
You're a dork,
like I was
man.
Lou Holtz. No days off, though, Gascon. Oh, I showed up, man. I showed up. I powered through because I got grit. That's
how about,
why.
How about this one, Ben? A Japanese man was arrested for allegedly calling a phone company not once, not twice, but 24,000 times to complain about them and his contract. This guy was not a teenager, not in his 20s or 30s. He was a 71-year-old man taken into custody for calling a telephone company 24,000 times, demanding that they apologize after violating his contract.
Well, I give the guy credit for his ambition. You know, I always like ambition, and this was clearly something that he was passionate about, and he had the curse of free time, right? He had the curse of free time, which I think is the biggest part of the story. The largest problem here is the guy was angry. He probably was retired. He had nothing going on. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to make my point. These people aren't giving me the answer that I want. And so I'm going to throw haymakers at them, and I'm going to punch them into submission with my phone calls. And, how did that work out?
Last couple of stories. How about this one in Miami? I love fruit. Bananas, apples,
people have
blueberries.
Said that about you. People have said you do enjoy the fruit.
I enjoy fruit, vegetables. Don't eat as much red meat anymore. How about this?
You're going soft.
At an art gallery in Miami, Ben, an artist threw up a banana to the wall, and I kid you not, put duct tape to it. Duct taped it and then put a frame around it. It sold at a Miami Festival of Arts for $120,000. He sold two editions of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this story, and this is the kind of a story, all right, that makes me want to punch someone. These intellectuals that go to these art museums and all this stuff. Oh, my. What a bunch of these people are so pompous, and I can't stand it. And these self-adoring people with the art world. I mean, it's so freaking annoying, these bozos, these dingleberries that do this.
How about this one? I don't know if you've ever driven. How far have you driven across the state of California, or I guess?
Well, I've driven all the way to Grass Valley, which is kind of in between Sacramento, and I've been to Sacramento. I've driven to Sacramento. I've gone from Sacramento, kind of Grass Valley, which is on the way to Reno. Been to, obviously, the Mexican-American border in San Diego, and pretty much everywhere in California. Anywhere there's a road, I've been over the...
All right. Well, I bring that up because of this. Three people recently broke the Cannonball Run record. I don't know if you know what the Cannonball Run is.
I saw Cannonball. It was before my time, but I saw it on the internet.
You know? All right, so it's a cross-country drive from New York to Los Angeles. Three people did it just a couple weeks ago. They did it. They actually left Manhattan, got to Redondo Beach in 27 hours and 25 minutes, beating the previous record of 28 hours and 50 minutes. Ben, the max speed in their car was 193 miles per hour. Their overall average speed was 103.
All right, so here's my – I know that in lots of the country there is absolutely no there's no one living there. It's a cow towns, farm, you know, whatever. But to get to 193 miles an hour, at some point you're going to come across like an 18-wheeler that's going 45 miles an hour. Do you see the problem with that? Do you see the problem? Force equals mass and all that. Do you see the issue with that?
Yeah, I do.
I love the fact that they were able to drive and speed all the way and not get a ticket. And I would like to go, but see, I would like to drive from like Boston to LA, but I'd like to stop. You know, if I had money and I could just not have to work and just stop at these little places along the way, I think that would be a lot of fun, but I've never had enough time to do it. And so maybe when I'm old, I'll get a Winnebago or something like that and I'll drive around.
Yeah, they drove in a Mercedes-Benz E63 AMG, 800 horsepower, Ben, and I was also turbocharged. So
they switched drivers. There was three drivers, right? So they switched drivers. So what's the deal? So they pull over for like a minute or 30 seconds and then quickly switch, and then the next person drives? Is that how that works?
Pretty much. It's like in the pits, right?
And then the person has to sleep in the back. Imagine trying to sleep while this car is going supercharged, 190 miles an hour, and soaring across America, around the world, and you're in there, pedal to the metal, and you're in the back trying to take a nap.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Here's a great story for, I think, your wife more than you. Have you been a part or seen or felt the uncomfortable feeling of being a part of the Mile High Club?
The Mile High Club?
Yeah.
I've been in planes. I've never been to Denver. That's the Mile High. No, I've not.
All right. Well, a deckhand on a luxury yacht down in Australia pleaded guilty to negligence after having drunken sex with a captain on a boat that was worth.
Well, that's not the Mile High Club, Gascon. I know what the Mile High Club is, you dumb.
Of course you don't even know what it is.
That would be the friendly seas club or whatever.
I'm bringing that up because of this. It was on a boat. I was going to ask you if you had any kind of extracurricular activities in a car, in a train. You just screwed it all up, Ben. Thanks a lot.
I screwed it up. Well, I would say that everyone, well, maybe not these days, but when you're around my age, at some point you made out with someone in a car. I think that's where most people start doing that kind of activity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we can elaborate a little bit more talking about maybe changing the gears in a stick shift when it's an automatic transmission, if you get my drift.
You're such a pervert. Huh? You are such a perv. I gotta work with you.
Anyways, this boat crashed. It caused $140,000 worth of damage.
Well, that's just because everything's complex. You crash into the dock with those boats. It's going to cost a lot of money. Those are huge boats, right?
Yeah.
Chips. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Way to get out there, Ben. Way to have some fun with this.
Well, I am good at playing. I'm a good teammate. I learned last week when I was doing in a fishbowl last week. You're like Johnny Depp. You're Captain Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean is what you are.
Yeah, there's not one bus that you wouldn't throw me under. There's not one train track you would not throw me on top of.
I am a truth teller. I'm a watchdog. That is what I do.
Yeah.
And if I have to beat you like a rented mule or a rental car, I will absolutely do that. With surgical precision, by the way.
Yeah. Anyways, yes. I am
you will
done.
Be disemboweled is what you mean.
Disemboweled? Wow, all right. Well, I'm done.
Word.
I'm done for this.
All right, that'll put the baby to bed. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. And remember, trying to get those numbers up on Facebook. We have enough people that listen to this where we should easily pass 10,000 if everyone just gets one other person to step up, to rise up, to meet the challenge. But have a great weekend. We will be back. And let us know how the audio sounds. Hopefully it doesn't sound like a baby monitor this week or it was recorded on a drive-through speaker system. Let us know how that goes. We'll be back on Sunday night on the radio after the NFL weekend. And we'll catch you next time.